hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. This program airs 4 to 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network in almost beautiful downtown Round Rock, Texas. My guest today, very glad to have this man, Eric S. Peterson, author of the book Light and Liberty, Reflections of the Pursuit of Happiness. It is a book about Thomas Jefferson. And it is history and inspiration, folks. As I said before, the lamp unto my feet. I don't know what everybody else is thinking out there. For light and transient reasons, we don't change a system of government because there's an immediate need. Okay, everybody's got needs. I know a lot of needy people. But what we need here today, ladies and gentlemen, probably even more then when the founders put our Constitution together, we need that document in force with people with sworn allegiance to it. We need these people in office right now, and I don't care if they've got a judgeship. I don't care if they're president. I don't care if they're vice president. I don't care if they're members of the military and the Pentagon. I don't care if they're in the NSA, CIA, FBI, or whatever else. Here is the working document. If you don't like it, pronounce it dead and throw it out, and then you'll have your second American Revolution. I'm with Eric Peterson today, and we are talking about Thomas Jefferson. This is something that they don't teach in the schools anymore because they're too busy trying to make you global cookie-cutter citizens ready to accept a new form of government. And around here, we call it the global authority or the world elite or the new world order, or call it what you will. Our system is trying to be fundamentally changed by, that's right, a man that last March with the president of Canada, the prime minister of Canada, the president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, signed a treaty, an agreement that basically erases our borders, changes forever the fundamentals of our government, and here is the man still sitting in the White House. Now, I'm going to use the T word here, so everybody just grit and don't crack any molars when I say this. The man is guilty of treason. As a matter of fact, I was just told during the break that there is a United States congressman in Vermont that is calling for the outright arrest of George W. Bush right now for treason. So it is starting to get serious in this country, folks. It's getting serious because we are in serious, serious, serious trouble. We are ethically, morally, and financially bankrupt in this country. But don't worry. The illusion's still there because the stock market is almost at an all-time high, isn't it? Is everybody breathing better? How can that be in a country that its dollar is only worth 97% of its worth? How is that possible? How can that be? Well, on this network, we discuss such issues, and we'll be back on the other side of this break here with, and folks, the guy's a lawyer, okay? But he wrote this book, Light and Liberty, The Reflections on the Pursuit of Happiness, Thomas Jefferson. In Thomas Jefferson's own words, Essays on the American Ideal. Very, very important, folks. Are we Americans? Or have we been transformed into something that you don't even recognize anymore and you don't even know what to believe? We'll be right back with my guest right after this.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England? And the concentration camps throughout history? They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we are back here. Let's roll back into the phones. You people have been holding forever. My apologies. Bob in Texas. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Eric.
Yes, how do you do, Bob?
Fine. You're talking about a subject that's very dear to my heart today. I went to the University of Virginia, which was created by Thomas Jefferson. And that is in Albemarle County, Texas.
I probably mispronounced that, butchered it.
Albemarle.
Marl, okay.
And I said Texas. I should have said Virginia.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. I have two favorite quotes, and Jefferson... Well, actually, I have many by Jefferson, but two of my top favorite. One of them is by Jefferson. And I'm going to start it, and I wish you could complete it and then comment on it. I have sworn before the altar of God.
Yes, that's one of his most famous quotes. It may even be inscribed on the Jefferson Memorial.
It's inscribed somewhere. I can't remember.
And the quote is, I have sworn on the altar of God, eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The key word there is mind of man, in my opinion. Tyranny over the mind of man. The media is performing tyranny over the mind of man. When we get misinformation, that is tyranny over the mind of man. You agree?
Yes, and I think... even more broadly, the spirit behind that sentiment, at least in my view, is a broad a strong feeling that coercion is fundamentally wrong, and that if we attempt to coerce each other as individuals or through our institutions of government, of religion, of media, communications, anyone who attempts to coerce someone else into an action that they're not necessarily prepared to take themselves is violating fundamental rights, fundamental principles upon which our country was founded, and it's basically fundamentally wrong to coerce anyone else. Jefferson was against all forms of coercion, domination, force, interference, meddling.
But he specifically used the word mind there because he was a naturalist, okay? He loved nature, all right? And he loved the mind, and he loved imagination and thinking and reasoning, and he was a reasonable person by all standards. And to me, his words create energy. When I'm depressed and need energy, I can read his works. And I know I'm yakking, but I have one. I just want to give you my other quote. It's by either Bertrand Russell or George Bernard Shaw. It goes like this: Reasonable men adapt to the world. Unreasonable men expect the world to adapt to them. Therefore, all progress is made by unreasonable men. Okay?
All right, Bob. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call.
You know, Bob mentioned that when he's depressed, he gets, you know, uplifted by reading the writings of Thomas Jefferson. And I must say that as I read through all of Jefferson's writings, he wrote some 20,000 letters over the course of his long 83-year life. And as you immerse yourself in his writings and connect with his thought, his great free spirit of thinking, you find yourself almost invisibly uplifted. You just feel better about yourself and your country. One of the reasons I put Light and Liberty together was because I feel that most Americans have a generalized fond regard for Thomas Jefferson. They know he held some of the offices that you mentioned earlier. He served our country in so many ways. And he formulated the Declaration of Independence and the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom to preserve and recognize our naturally given liberties. But beyond that, people don't know too much about him, even though they have a very warm regard for him. And so what I wanted to do with this project, Light and Liberty, was give people who have that good, warm feeling about Jefferson some real basis and allow them to really get into the core and the heart of his thinking. Thomas Jefferson's vision of freedom and oneness is really at the heart of our country. And when you have a chance to read through and just reflect on his writings, they're organized into 34 chapters of various virtues and good qualities that we would all admire. When you do that, you just feel better about yourself and your country and its future. It's hard to describe how uplifting it is to read the actual words of Thomas Jefferson.
If the people are once again reacquainted with the intent and the ideals of the original government, in 2 years after I call it the War of Aggression on Southern States, but just 2 years after the Civil War, we had a little thing called Reconstruction. And I'm sure all the Federalists were just rolling and giddily laughing in their graves because that's exactly what happened. Everything started to revert back and centralize power in Washington, D.C. We've been fighting many, many wars in this country has for supposedly freedom and liberty. Let me see if you can recognize this. And I'm just going to read through this quickly, and I'm going to ask you where this came from. Abolition of all private property. Heavy progressive income tax, abolition of all rights of inheritance, confiscation of all property of all immigrants and rebels, centralized banking, government control of communications and transportation, government ownership of factories and agriculture. Well, we're not quite there yet, but it's so heavily controlled it must be. Government control of labor, corporate farms, regional planning, government control of education. What did I just read to you, sir?
I don't know the source document for that, but that sounds like a spirit of state, centralized state government that characterized communist or fascist thinking.
There you go. That was a summary of the Communist Manifesto. Now, how many of those things do we recognize that I just read?
Right, and I think that there, part of the difficulty that we're experiencing today really has to really revolves around the clarity of language and concepts and principles that we're dealing with. I've really admired the stand that you've taken on your program, John, and I think you're doing a great service to our country. And one of the things that you're doing is you're acting as a true patriot. There is a chapter in Light and Liberty on the subject of patriotism. And Thomas Jefferson had a real clear idea on this subject. To Thomas Jefferson, patriotism is an unfettered, natural, free-flowing love of your country, not love of your government or actions of your government. And what is our country except just a whole bouquet of tremendously beautiful natural blessings?
Yes.
From our natural environment, our rights, our peoples, our tradition, our heritage, our freedoms. This is what our country is. And so you're a patriot if you love your country. Love of your government has nothing to do with patriotism. And in fact, it's your right and duty as a citizen, if you think your government is running askew, to act to counter those tendencies. And so when people are criticized for taking issue with their government and being attacked for their patriotism, it's a warpage of the basic concept. A patriot is one who loves his country and, as Jefferson said, can never fail to come forward when he feels that our country is endangered by actions of our government.
But they also gave, I've got to tell the listeners out there, I have never spoken to Eric Peterson prior to this program. We had no exchanges, no conversations up to this interview. And I don't know much more outside of the short bio that's on your book. And, you know, it's obvious that you don't really know my history or who I am. Back in the 90s, with another man, we started, remember hearing about these evil militias that were popping up around the country?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was one of the people that helped start those militias. And that was completely constitutional. It was the unorganized militia. We had the State Guard hijacked. We called them back in 1973. They nationalized them, hence the National Guard. And I saw a great need for the unorganized militia once again out there, just in case we're attacked from without or maybe from within. Who knows? I don't know what these 30 or 40 million illegals have in this country right now, what they have in mind. Supposedly they're here for peaceful purposes, but they're still here illegally. But I'm one of the guys that started that, and I got to thinking about this. Power of communication and ideas is going to surpass the ability of what these people might have done back in the 90s, and that's where I'm at today. This is my second network. The body of the programming that is on this network, it pretty much follows in the vein of what we're discussing here today. We have the most intelligent audience that is out of all radio that's ever been done in this country. We have the most well-informed audience ever in radio history. And I can see no other cause than the cause of re-educating and reinstituting that fire, if you will, Eric, in people's hearts and their minds and in their souls. I can think of no more of a job that I can do, or my responsibility as being born an American, being born into this country. How lucky we really are. Well, I mean, we could have been born in Zimbabwe or, you know, Chechnya or who knows where, but we were lucky enough to be born in this country. And we're sitting here and we're watching this great country being destroyed right before our very eyes. And it is time for all good men, this is not a typing exercise, folks, for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Let's go back to the phones. Let me go to Jim Dillon. Hello, Jim.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Hey, John. I do not have a warm regard for Thomas Jefferson. And I think that your guest has a distorted view of history. And I'd be happy to tell you why. Because I don't think that he should be idol-worshipping a guy. Do I hear music?
Yeah, you do. Hang on
a
second.
I'll wait for the other side. Thank you, John.
Okay, hold on here a second. We have a person here that disagrees with your points on Jefferson, and we will discover those right after this. We'll be right back.
Order the DVD of a lifetime, Into Evidence, Truth, Lies, and Unresolved Mysteries in the Murder of JFK. This landmark video is the most comprehensive presentation ever delivered on the assassination and features the leading experts in every field of scientific investigation. 32 hours of research presented on the most controversial murder of the 20th century. This compilation will make a great addition to your collection. To order this beautifully packaged 8-DVD set, visit our website, intoevidence.net/US.
If you're like the millions of Americans living day to day, trying to make ends meet, then you wouldn't want to pass up this opportunity. Employment and job security are at an all-time low, while the cost of living, supporting your family or lifestyle, and credit card debt just keep going up. So what if I told you there was a way to earn the kind of money you need and deserve? Build financial freedom. Secure a future for you and your family. And do it all right from the comfort of your own home with no money at risk. Now you can by starting your own business and becoming a part of the LifeWave team. LifeWave has developed a line of groundbreaking products using drug-free and chemical-free patches which work along the same principles as Qi that Asian cultures have used for thousands of years. LifeWave patches energize the body's own bioelectrical field to help create more energy and stamina, improve rest and concentration, and relieve muscle aches and pains without putting any type of stimulants or other substance into your body. This is something that everyone can use. All lifestyles, all ages. Just think of the possibilities. Now you can stop living in the past, get out of debt, and become part of the future, your future, by starting your own business today and becoming part of the LifeWave team. To learn how you can become part of the LifeWave team, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't sit back and let this opportunity pass you by. Take charge of your future. Act now.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution.
Well, that's when they were still teaching the Constitution in school. Jim Dillon, you have a bone to pick with my guests, and as you said, the iconoclastic measure of Thomas Jefferson, maybe idol-worshipping here?
Yeah, he's idol-worshipping a guy he's never met, and he certainly doesn't know.
Okay.
And I don't have a bone to pick with him just because he's a lawyer, John, although that would be cause enough.
All right, well, stop the personal attacks, Jim, and get to your point.
Well, here's my point, John. This Jefferson guy could not relate to the common man, as was claimed by your guest. His eloquent writings, you know, this all men are created equal and equal rights of the man, of man. Well, he didn't practice what he preached. He was a slave owner. He didn't feel that equal rights were in order for women or blacks or American Indians. He not only was a slave owner, he had sexual relations with his slaves, and then he renounced his offspring, John. Now, also...
Yeah, but it would seem to me, Jim, that you were personally more acquainted with Thomas Jefferson than the guy that just wrote this book.
No, but I can tell you that he was the founder of the Democratic Party, and we all know what they've
devolved into.
All right, let's get a response from my guest.
Wait a minute. I got three more points, John.
Well, okay.
He was atheistic, agnostic, or existential in his philosophy, although he may have been, you know, had these expounded on God. He was not a follower of Christ. He never once took up arms in the revolution that he advocated. Not once did he pick up a weapon and shoot at the enemy. And he was of prime fighting age. You talk about the organized citizen militia, mm-hmm. and Jefferson talks about the Tree of Liberty needing refreshed and watered with the blood of patriots. He never picked up a gun in the revolution. He watched it on TV.
Okay, hold on a second, Jim. You're throwing a lot out here. Please let my guest respond. Mr. Peterson.
Well, there's certainly a lot there, and I think that Jefferson contributed so much to our country that it's hard to sort of articulate it all. But let's go to the specific items that Jim mentioned. Thomas Jefferson did serve as wartime governor of Virginia for 2 years, in the last 2 years of the Revolutionary War, after he had sent a tremendous amount of his own supplies and equipment from his own farms as well as Virginia to the support of the Continental Army that Washington was leading. So he really was an active participant as a leader of governor of the militia in Virginia.
He was of prime fighting age, and he never went to the front, never picked up a weapon.
Well, he was the elected governor of Virginia at the time. But anyway, let's go on to some of the other ones, because I think you've made some points here that I'd like to respond to. Thomas Jefferson, in fact, was accused of being an atheist when he ran for president. And how does this statement of his belief square with your sense that he was an atheist? Let me give you a quote of his that describes his philosophy. The relations which exist between man and his maker and the duties resulting from those relations are the most interesting and important to every human being and the most incumbent upon his study and investigation.
Yeah,
does that sound like a man who is an atheist?
No, that was a statement of fact, and it wasn't an assertion of his personal beliefs that would identify him with a particular theology. It was a statement of fact. It isn't, you know, the study of God and the Creator and the Maker is certainly an interesting endeavor. That's all he said. Nobody would deny that.
So, how about this? The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force may destroy, but cannot disjoin
us. I'll tell you what, Eric. There's a lot of people who don't believe in God. They still want their liberty.
That's true.
Well, let me go to your third point, because I think that is one that really is on the minds of a number of people today. The idea that he was the champion of freedom, and yet he held slaves?
Yeah, and he had sex with his slaves. He gave new meaning to the term sex slave.
Well, let me respond to both of those, because they're separate, they're related but separate issues. It's become a commonplace belief in the last 5 or 10 years that because of a DNA study that was done in the late 1990s, that mm-hmm. proved that Thomas Jefferson was the father of one child,
Sally Hennings,
one
for
of
sure.
the slaves. Right. I'd like to inform you that study proved no such thing. It proved that one of 25...
Oh, okay. So none of the plantation owners
Wait
ever
a minute,
had
Jim.
Sex
Would you do
slaves?
Me a favor? This is not a political debate. Would you let the man answer, please?
Well, John, if you want a political debate, have me on. I'm running for governor.
Well, yeah, but to what are you going to swear allegiance to, the Constitution or Jim Dillon's view of history?
Well, both.
Okay, well, great. All right. Now, let the man respond.
In any case, there's a long discussion here, but let me just say that 12 scholars led by Professor Robert Turner at the University of Virginia undertook a scholarly and academic analysis of the assertion that he was the father of one of Sally Hemings' children. They published a report, if your listener is interested in reading it. It's called the Jefferson Hemings Scholars Commission Report, and it can be found on a website called the Thomas Jefferson Heritage Foundation website. It was 500 pages long. You can read a 30-page executive summary. And it concludes that those assertions are almost certainly completely false.
So the reason that Africans are black and American blacks are brown is not because there was a lot of white plantation owner blood DNA mixed in,
We'll
right?
take the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
We are back, and I was going to keep Jim Dillon on for a little while longer, but he saw fit. I walked into the broadcast room to pick up the line, and the phone was hung up. So I guess he doesn't want to stick around. At any rate, anything else that you want to say on that particular subject, Mr. Peterson?
Yes, it's quite a perplexing matter that the great visionary of our freedoms, Thomas Jefferson, actually held slaves. And a lot of people wonder about that. It's a complex subject, but I think it's fair to say that, in my view, Thomas Jefferson is the visionary whose principle of all men are created equal created the philosophical foundation. He set forth a principle which, over the course of time, has ultimately led to the liberation of all minorities, of gender liberation, and it's even rolling around the world today. Vision, as we all know, takes time to manifest. If you have a goal of improving your own life in some way, building your own character, strengthening your body, whatever it is, we all know that it takes time to have the vision and then work toward achieving the vision. Thomas Jefferson said the ball of liberty is now so firmly in motion that it will roll around the world. That was his vision. He also said the ground of liberty is to be gained by inches. You can't change yourself overnight. We all know that. We can't change society overnight. But we can't have a vision. We can't have a high standard. We can have wonderful ideals from the heart that we know are right. Those ideals were set forth by Thomas Jefferson. And all the progress that we've made as a society in race relations and gender issues and so forth can be traced right back to the vision of Thomas Jefferson. I really think we should give him more credit than he's gotten recently.
The wartime governor of Virginia in June 1779, Jefferson was elected governor of Virginia. His political enemies criticized his performance as war governor mercilessly. He was charged with failure to provide for adequate defense of Richmond in 1780-1781. Although he knew a British invasion was imminent, and the cowardice and the conduct when he fled the capital during the moment of crisis in June of 1781, he retired from the governorship. The Virginia Assembly subsequently voted that an inquiry be made into the conduct of the executive of this state. Jefferson was exonerated. In fact, the Assembly unanimously voted a resolution of appreciation of his conduct. The episode, however, left Jackson, or Jefferson rather, a little bit bitter, however, about the rewards of public service. So they held court on him, and he was exonerated in his very own state. So if that helps anybody out there.
Yes, he took a risk. When he said in the Declaration that we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, he knew he was at risk of being hung for treason by the British if he was captured, along with all the other founders of the country. And he worked tirelessly to try to serve the state, and it was completely denuded of resources from the war. Anything that was of value had been sent to the Continental Army. So he's trying to defend Virginia from the British invasion with nothing to work with. It's almost like criticizing the American commanders who retreated and surrendered in Bataan at the beginning of World War II as cowardice and lacking in leadership. It's ridiculous. He had nothing to work with, nor did they.
We didn't have a lot to work with when we went against the king, King George, that is. Bill in Alaska, you're up next. Hello, Bill.
Hello, John. Greetings from the most beautiful place on God's green earth.
All right.
Alaska. With neighbors like Ralph Winterroot and Nick Begich, I mean, what more could you ask for?
There you go.
John, I'm going to make this real quick with apologies to your guest because I'm calling it about a pledge I want to make. And the reason that I'm doing it on air instead of off air is because I want to encourage some other people. As I'm sure you're aware, I have a small website up here called the Alaska Intel Report.
Mm-hmm.
And once a year, as you're probably aware, we get what's called a PFD check up here, a permanent fund dividend check. And we're going to get ours next Wednesday on the 4th. And I want to send you $200.
All right.
And the reason that I'm doing this on air is because I want you to know why I'm doing it, because I don't send money to people. And I want the people that are responsible to know why I'm doing it. And those people are at Penn State. And that's the reason I'm sending you the money. And I want them to know that, because I'm sure they listen to your show, too. Once a year when we get this PFD check, it's real easy to make contributions and donations because you really don't miss it. You know what I mean? There are those of us, and I heard you make a statement the other day about, you know, send $10 if that's all you think we're worth. And I really wanted to call you on the phone and give you a hard time. There are some of us that's all we can afford.
No,
and it's not that we don't think that our not worth
Bill,
it.
Bill, I've made that clear. And for nothing else, I said for those that cannot contribute,
yeah,
drop us, spend 39 cents, write us a letter, or drop us a postcard, and just say that you're in support of us. I'm not
right.
holding people at ransom for listening to the network.
I understand that, John. I really do. And I just want you to know that I'd send you more, but I can't afford to, and that's the only reason that you're not getting more from me.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Bill. Yeah, I was accused by those people from Penn State of running a scam, begging for money. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's taken me a long time to decide which side of this issue I came down on. But the scale started tipping with Christopher Bolin's deal.
Right.
And when I listened to yesterday, you know, the rants on their website yesterday, that's what did it for me. I pulled everything off my website, all links and everything else, and decided to send you a check instead. So I want Victor and Lisa to know that they're responsible for this contribution to RBN. John, keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Bill. I love you, brother.
All right, bro. You take care. We won't go into the details of that. We'll let that pass for right now. Bill in New York. And thank you, Bill in Alaska. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, as far as Thomas Jefferson goes, I would never make the mistake to equate Thomas Jefferson with God. However, I respect him as a man and as founder of this country. Like all men and all women, he is flawed, and he has strong points. And I think it, that's the perspective that we must take this. I don't worship Thomas Jefferson, but I respect him as a founder of this country. That's my position. The question I was calling, though, this is why I was actually calling, is concerning the idea of immunity of government officials and also prosecutorial discretion. These two issues are things that I think are very cancerous to this government, because their effect is to allow criminality to go on in the government, and these people will use the law to justify violation of the law, and it perverts justice. And I was wondering if your guests might know if the founding fathers of this country were aware of that problem and, what they did to address it. To me, anytime a person could show a prima facie case that, you know, the elements of a crime being commissioned, it shouldn't matter at all who they are, period. And I was wondering what your comments might be.
Well, sure. Thanks for the question. The rebellion was against what they saw as tyranny of a corrupt and excessively powerful centralized government constituted by in the British Crown. And when you look at issues like immunity of government officials and prosecutorial discretion, you're talking about issues of the exercise of power of rulers of the people. And that is why Thomas Jefferson placed such a great emphasis on the Bill of Rights, as we talked about earlier. And he didn't think that the core principles that are reflected in the Bill of Rights, including the presumption of innocence that John referred to earlier in the broadcast, should be compromised in difficult times. And Thomas Jefferson thought fear was the worst kind of ignorance, and that an enlightened citizenry should not permit their governmental officials to deprive people of their basic rights and freedoms reflected in the Bill of Rights in difficult times and stressful times and times where fear tends to predominate. And I think we would call the current times a time of fear.
Very, very fearful.
And he himself lived through a very similar time. There was a time of fear, military buildup, increasing national debt, increasing taxation, foreign wars on the horizon, potentially with France. And that was the environment in which the Federalist Party, the part of the elites, the people that believed in the primacy of the ruling class, passed the infamous Sedition Act, which made it a crime even to utter an opinion critical of the policies and actions of the government at the time. And under the Sedition Act, 24 newspaper editors, all from Jefferson's party, were arrested. 14 were prosecuted by the execution of exercise of prosecutorial discretion, as your caller mentioned. And 10 were actually convicted of the crime of uttering an opinion critical of the government at the time. And they were rotting in jail 2 years later when Thomas Jefferson was elected president. And instead of extending the Sedition Act and wreaking vengeance upon his political enemies, he let it expire, he freed the political prisoners, and he established, by his own actions, the principle of free speech, freedom of the press, freedom of conscience, and so forth. Jefferson was very concerned about the potential abuses of power by the rulers, by the crown, whoever was in power at the time, and he thought we should not succumb to ignorant sentiments like excessive fear and allow these powers of government to be expanded beyond reasonable bounds.
Or in times such as we live in today, to change fundamentally the basis of government for light, what I would call light and transient reasons. You know, there are ways to deal with criminals and criminality. But in this country anymore, Eric, it is literally by government, by police forces, by just about anybody that's in supposed position of power, that we're looked at as being all guilty until we prove ourselves to be innocent.
Even applying the word terrorist to a person who has simply been arrested and perhaps not even charged with a crime is a destruction of the presumption of innocence simply by the application of language.
Well, and also, Bill, hang on a second. I'll let you get back in here, but over 10 years ago, we all know who the sheriff is of Joe Arpaio, I think his name is, or Arpaio, out in out there in the desert Southwest. This guy, the FBI chose Joe Arpaio of is it Arizona or New Mexico? I think it's Arizona. Yeah. And they approached him, the FBI did, with his counterterrorism force, and they fired this up in his county, and they put together a trifold pamphlet to be distributed only to law enforcement. And in that, it described to the police officers to be on the lookout for potential terrorists. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this was before September 11th, 2001. That people that have a fundamental belief in Christianity or the Bible, that you may have to watch them because they might be a terrorist. People that espouse an allegiance to the Constitution, they're fervent about it, they may be a terrorist. People that support the Second Amendment of the Constitution, they may be terrorists. So this has been going on for quite some time. Law enforcement has been conditioned. They already are, and they've been told that don't trust the public. The only people that you can trust are the very people that are wearing the same uniform or your equals or your betters in uniform. Only trust them. Do not trust the citizenry, which is not how law enforcement, they used to call them peace officers, by the way, that's not how a policing agency should be conducting itself, and that's certainly not the train of thought that they should have in their minds whenever they approach somebody, John Q. Citizen on the street, that they're a potential terrorist. And we have seen video, Eric, of government officials coming in under the guise of preparedness and what to do in disaster situations, comparing the Founding Fathers. They were the terrorists of the day against King George and their revolutionary ideas. So there is this disease that is rampant throughout, shall we call it, authority in this country that is absolutely, positively astounding. And if the American people knew about it, knew about their ideas, if they knew more about their own constitution and their own form of government, when people would make statements like this, they'd be ready to grab 50-foot of rope and look for the nearest lamppost, for gosh sakes.
Right. And I was just wanting to add that the Bill of Rights, my understanding, was an integral part of the Constitution and essential to its ratification. Is that not correct?
It certainly was in Jefferson's mind. It was enacted about a year after.
Well, was it not actually in the vote itself?
No, it was not. And that's what troubled Jefferson so much. He received a draft of the Constitution from his friend James Madison. Jefferson was in France at the time, serving as minister to France, and his good friend James Madison was the primary drafter and advocate for the Constitution. And Jefferson sent back a letter saying, this is a wonderful document for the dispersal of power and good government, but it lacks two things. It lacks term limits for the president. He thought people, once they were elected, could find ways to perpetuate themselves in power. We see that around the world, an elected person kind of ending up holding office for life. That was corrected about 50 years ago in the Constitution. But then he went on to say, this Constitution lacks a Bill of Rights. He said, people have rights given by the hand of nature, which should be protected and beyond the reach of any government. And I object to the passage of this Constitution unless it contains a Bill of Rights. Well, they were so far advanced in the working on the draft of the Constitution that was on the table that they had to pass it as it was written. And they promised Jefferson, Madison did, that they would present the Bill of Rights as the first 10 amendments to the Constitution a year or two later. And fortunately, it was presented later, and it was passed. And now it's an integral part of the Constitution, rights beyond the reach of any particular rulers of the people in office at a particular time.
Yeah, and the idea nowadays is, Eric, that most people in this country believe that their rights come from government. what a sad state of affairs in this country. Bill,
inalienable rights. Yeah, I appreciate you guys taking my call. Okay?
All righty. Thanks, Bill. Thanks. I appreciate your call. Well, you've had a lot of Bills here. Let's go to a Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Yes,
I was, your guest is evidently a Jefferson scholar. I just wanted to have him point out that Jefferson often wrote on both sides of the fence. He wrote a lot about the natural aristocracy and how they had the right to rule over the masses, and mm-hmm. and how the masses couldn't be trusted with that kind of power. And he wrote on both sides. Anybody can quote Jefferson either way.
Right.
So, you know.
But what did he...
it's nice to point out the good stuff that he wrote, but he also wrote both ways.
Let me ask you a question, though. Was he a signatory on the Declaration of Independence?
Well, certainly. I'm
was
not
he,
disputing
no,
any
no,
of
no,
that.
I'm just clarifying here, Bill. Give me a break here. I'm just clarifying. And what government did he swear allegiance that he helped form? So,
exactly.
You know, we can talk about, you know, people that listen to me and have been for almost 14 years may find something to disagree with me about, but it might have been pulled out of context, or maybe I was in error. I am not one to say that I am perfect, that's for sure. I'm on a learning curve like everybody else. But anything else you wanted to add, Bill?
No, I just wanted to point out that he wrote on both sides of the fence, and mm-hmm. depending on which book you want to look into or which quote you want to give, you
right.
can back either argument.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
All right, thanks. Appreciate your call. Any comment on it, Eric?
Well, he makes an interesting point, but it's not quite, I think, the way it was with Jefferson, because he had good, clear principles that were broad, high ideals. And so it's not that he was writing on either side of an issue. It's that his high ideals and his high principles were interpreted different ways by different people. It's been interesting to look at how he's been quoted throughout history. And as you said, Jefferson can be quoted basically in support of any proposition that you want, because his ideals were so high, so general, that they lend themselves to a variety of interpretations. On the specific point that he mentioned about the natural aristocracy, that was a point on which Jefferson's principles were very, very clear, however high and idealized they were. He believed in a natural aristocracy. He felt all men were equal in terms of their God-given rights and in the common human spark that we all have. We're all equal in that fundamental soul-deep sense, if you will, particularly in terms of our rights. But he felt that we were not equal necessarily in our talents and our virtue and our character. Those were individual things that they make us different as individuals. And he was for the cultivation of natural talents. You know, if you're good as a farmer, in whatever field of work that you have, your artistic talents, whatever it was, we're all different, and we're not necessarily equal in our talents, virtues, and character. And he wanted people to have the opportunity through their freedom from coercion, to be able to develop their natural talents. And that's why your caller used the word natural aristocracy. What he meant by that was by people of virtue and talent would emerge in a free society and be able to contribute to their fellow man in the most unfettered way possible. And he was a staunch opponent of what he called an unnatural aristocracy, rulers by birth and badge, distinctions by what he called birth and badge, high-born, privileged people holding positions of power and authority simply by the circumstances in which they were born, as opposed to the talents, virtues, and character that they were able to offer society.
Well, on the subject, and you mentioned it about the natural rights theory, Jefferson's reputation began to reach beyond Virginia in 1774 when he wrote a political pamphlet. He wrote a summary view of the rights of the British America. And don't forget, folks, we were still British America before 1776. He was arguing on the basis of natural rights theory. Jefferson claimed that colonial allegiance to the king was voluntary, and the quote that you just gave a little while ago, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force may destroy, but cannot disjoin them." So, you know, I guess this debate could carry on. I think we could probably do another 2 hours here on Jefferson. But suffice it to say that these men managed to put together something that had never before or since been seen or penned by the hand of man. And I do believe that there was a lot of divine inspiration in this, and I don't think that fact can be argued. When we set up a system of government and we climb the very pinnacle of civilization throughout recorded history, that does not happen by accident.
No, I think you're right. And a number of callers on the show have indicated, you know, that they respect Jefferson and so forth, and they're critical of one aspect or another of his life. And I think it's fair to say that Jefferson would never have considered himself to be a saint. Instead, I think he's truly should be regarded as, perhaps the right word is, a seer. Thomas Jefferson was a dreamer of a better future for all of mankind. He lived his life of service accordingly. He tried to serve his fellow man to the best of his ability, and he set forth a vision of freedom and oneness that has really guided the progress of the world. You have to have a standard. You have to have some ideals to shoot for. And as a seer, he set forth a really positive vision of the future of mankind that continues to inspire people today. I think that's what we should be grateful for when we're looking at the life and the wisdom of Thomas Jefferson.
I don't know how history is going to treat me. I've said that I don't care if anybody ever remembers my name once I pass from this house, from this life. I really care not how people view me, but because I myself am not perfect. I have certainly made mistakes, as we all have. But I think when you're looking at the culmination and the attributes of a person's life, I guess we can put all people, all Americans that have ever lived in this country, that have ever contributed to the ideals and to this great republic. I'm sure that any one of these people can be picked apart, and I hope hope history looks upon me with a smiling eye.
maybe one more observation about Jefferson. Jefferson said that in his vision, he called America the hallowed ark of human hope and happiness. And he said that America possessed the sacred fire of freedom and self-government, from whence it is to light up the other nations of the earth, if other nations shall ever become susceptible of its benign influence.
With that, we are going to say goodbye to you, sir, and I can't wait for your next endeavor. I'll be looking for it, Mr. Peterson. And let us remind folks out there that the website is lightandliberty.org. Mr. Peterson is managing partner of the New York City law firm Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood, LLP. Again, he was educated at Brown University and University of Chicago Law School. And, well, you've studied Jefferson's life and works for quite a few years, well over a decade. And this book, Light and Liberty, Reflections of the Pursuit of Happiness, specifically on Thomas Jefferson. And these are the essays and the very essence of the man. And this can be found in Borders, the Amazon.com, Light and Liberty, Reflections of the Pursuit of Happiness. And, Eric, I appreciate your time very much, sir.
John, I thank you so very much.
All right. By the way, I wanted to ask you, how many radio programs have you ever done that you're able to get up and speak unfettered about your work without too much interference?
Well, I really appreciate this opportunity, and I truly admire what you're doing on your network. To have this opportunity to speak at such great length about a great and good American is a real honor and an opportunity, and I thank you again.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, Eric. That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Until then, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.